Intervju Radija Študent.
Pozdrav na današnji dan. Tukaj in zdaj sva s tabo egipčansko-angliška pevka in avtorica Nataša Atlas in tvoja Tisirela Bin Nur, ki sva pravkar poklepetali pred nocojšnjim Natašinim ljubljanskim nastopom med promocijsko turnejo za novo zadnjo ploščo Ene Hine. Nataša Atlas nocoj ob 21. uri z ansamblom Mazika koncertira v Cankarjevem domu, v podlagi Ferus z nove plošče Ana Hina in čez hip povsem svež intervju z Atlasovo v izvirniku, to je angleščini. Prijetno poslušanje, hvala za pozornost in nasnidenje nocoj na koncertu.
We got in quite late yesterday, and we're really, really tired. I think the band probably were up a bit earlier than me today, and I think they've been looking around, and I'd kind of like to look around if I get time, but I think it's going to be difficult now because of sound check. But I think we leave maybe late tomorrow, so hopefully I'll get some time tomorrow morning.
On your previous visit in 97,
yeah,
I think, and 2003, did you have more time to look around?
No, it's always been in and out. It's that's unfortunately the nature of this lifestyle and this work. Yeah.
In the middle of tour, presenting new album, Ene Hine.
Yeah, yeah. It's an acoustic project, mainly of old songs from the 60s and 50s from the Arabic world, from the contemporary field of the Arabic world from that time period. The Rahbani brothers wrote songs for Fairuz, which were contemporary in the fact that they were a fusion between East and West, and a couple of Abd al-Halim Hafez tunes were also a fusion, sort of, because at the time Egyptian cinema was looking at all kinds of stuff from Latin America and Hollywood, and sort of taking influences from pretty much everywhere and fusing it with Arabic music. So I wanted to show with that, you know, fusion was happening, you know, long before I was doing it. It's not a new thing, because people always you get these purists that, you know, sort of say, oh, you know, Arabic music should be played with like this or like this or like this. And they don't actually realize that, you know, from the 30s onwards, there's been fusion happening. You know, Europeans can be fairly ignorant about what's the reality of Arabic music or African music. You know, they feel that they have the authority to tell, you know, other people how Arabic music or how African music developed. And actually, a lot of them don't actually realize that there's been an exchange going on all along, you know.
I think there was in 1932 there was an international conference of ethnomusicology in Cairo about problems of fusion of Arabic music with European music.
Mm. So yes, but that's the proof that it was happening, you know. Mm-hmm. It was happening.
Have you ever seen films live?
No, only on the TV. Yeah, I think she's even played the Albert Hall, but probably she's been there when I probably haven't been there, because I've lived in Egypt, I've lived in Greece, I've lived in a few places, but I never actually caught her at the Albert Hall. But and then for a period of time, she never left Lebanon during the war. She just stayed. She was making a statement, a political statement, in staying, you know, in Lebanon. So, but I've always, you know, the Rahbani method of music is something I'm a big fan of anyway. So
Halim is you already did second album titled by
yeah, that was just a homage to him, because it was the anniversary 20 years of his death when I named my album after him, because he was, you know, the heartthrob for all young Arabic girls and even young Arab origin girls, you know, and I'm no exception. I was also captivated by Abd al-Halim Hafez and his sensitivity and his beautiful voice and his personality.
What about Farid
al-Atrash? Oh, Farid al-Atrash, of course. He was from a little bit earlier generation, along with his sister Asmahan, who is an incredible singer. The only singer that could have rivaled Kulsum was Asmahan, but she was a spy for several different sides, and so she was killed early in her life, you see. So, but an interesting story nonetheless. So yes, Farid al-Atrash, of course, yeah, it goes without saying, he's one of the greats of the Arab world from that time.
Have you ever thought about recording an album of just covers?
People keep suggesting it to me, and it's something that I might do in the future.
Because now you always, the last album you have more covers, I think, than original songs.
Yeah, yeah.
Because on all albums you have a cover or two, I mean, since we did that, I think.
Yeah, I think it's nice. I mean, and this one was going to be maybe all covers, but then Harvey and I, my musical director, Harvey Bruff, we wrote two songs which we thought we should include, because we wrote them around those influences, and so it seemed right to include them, you know.
And how did you choose previous covers? They were mostly from Western popular music, like I Put a Spell on You, Selim and Jay Hawkins, I think, and French, and Makita Pa,
yeah.
Mon Ami La Rose.
Well, how did I choose them?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Makita Pa, because, I mean, I've always been a fan of Jacques Brel, and the poetry of that song is kind of the sort of the phrasing, the analogy, the the romantic sort of symbolism in the words reminded me of the way Arabic songs are written. You know, the comparisons in references to love and stuff were to me similar. So that was already, and then also the melody. You know, it was a great melody in the song Namo Kitaba, which again, you know, is another thing that's kind of similar to old Arabic music. And the Screaming Jay Hawkins thing was off the wall, because that's, you know, the only thing that I identified there with was, I mean, I love the version done by Nina Simone, and I'm a fan of, you know, I'm a form some of her songs. I'm a fan of Nina Simone. The late Nina Simone, in fact, isn't it? She passed away. She's dead, I think. No, she's not dead? Okay. I think she might be the late Nina Simone. Anyway, I loved her version, but also Screaming Jay Hawkins. But the song for me was I identified with that because the subject matter. You know, I mean, like in Africa, in the Middle East, there's a lot of people who believe in magic, and you know, when your lover has strayed, you know, you go to the local witch doctor or the local sheikh or the local whatever he might, the guy who does the stuff, and you know, you put a spell on that person, and it's just so normal in some places. I think it's starting to change now with certain societies, like in Lebanon, they wouldn't do it so much, because Lebanon is much more cosmopolitan and European and much more liberal, and so that their ideologies would be slightly more up to date with Europe's, which would, you know, that a lot of that is a lot of nonsense. But you know, in some places in the Middle East and some places in North Africa, like Morocco, it's still the normal thing to do. You know, if somebody gets ill, you go to the witch doctor and sort that out. If somebody has, if some husband has gone and slept with another woman, you go and sort that out like that. It's just, so it kind of, you know, and I think that African people and, you know, Screaming Jay Hawkins, you know, New Orleans, you know, again, it's this sort of same, yeah. So that's kind of why I did it, really. And I just thought it would be an interesting challenge to take a song that has nothing to do with Arabic music musically, but subject matter, it has quite a lot in common. So I thought it would be an interesting sort of dichotomy and just a challenge, really.
No, it's musically it's a good cover, but I must say vocally it could be good if you would scream instead of do la 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 when you do that. It's a little.
Yeah, but la 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 means no in Arabic. So I wanted to slip something in Arabic because vocally there's nothing really Arabic about the way I sing that. Mm-hmm. So I needed to slip something in Arabic because otherwise it seems not true to me somehow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. In the new album, you have also a cover of yourself from your previous album.
Yeah, just it's like a reprise, because it's the version I did on Anna Hina is more of a Nubian Sudanese type version that touches very slightly on a bluesy type thing, but it's kind of, it for me has a sort of pentatonic Sudanese Nubian thing about it, and it's a different mood to the other one, and I think it's kind of quite funny to do a cover version of your own thing, really, and do it differently, you know, and do another version of it. Why not? It's mine. I can do with it what I like.
Yeah, of course. It's interesting. When I was doing a critic of your previous album, I wrote that the only really good song on the album. I mean, that's the one that I really like.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people like that one.
It was a little gnawa on Mishma.
Sure, sure. I mean, it's something I've not done before, and I just wanted to slip that in and see what you know would happen. And I just think it's one of those songs. It's great to play in clubs. It's a, you know, it's one of those real. It's kind of quite up feeling. It's a real good mood, happy mood setter kind of thing. So it's one of those. It's a great one when you hear it in a club, you know, in a world music type sort of DJ club, and you hear that one. It puts you in a good mood. It's great for that. Yeah.
Mm. Did you change lyrics also to it because you changed the title a little bit? Like
Yeah, I think there's just maybe a couple of phrases that have been added. Yeah.
Mm. So it's more optimistic outlook.
I'd say it's fairly optimistic, actually. I'd say it's an optimistic love song. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yesterday. I mean, the last concert you played on the tour was in Sarajevo. How was it? It's our common country. So.
Yeah. Oh, it was very, very good. Of course, it was Eid, so it was a festival for Muslims because it's, you know, they're breaking the fast, and you know, obviously there's, you know, Muslims in the group, and so they were happy to visit another Muslim country that is in the heart of Europe. It's quite a curious thing, that, for us, you know. But it's fascinating at the same time, because it's really, you know, this Bosnia place is like a real bridge between, you know, the Islamic world and Europe. And that's a very interesting thing, because it must have been hard to be this place in the middle and not have a lot of... And of course they did have problems, you know, they've had a war and it was a terrible one. So no, it was great, and I know that I had a great effect on them for coming in this time, because, you know, I had offers to do other shows for Ramadan, and I chose Sarajevo because of its duality. I identify with duality, because that's essentially me. So it was really great, you know. And I somebody was in the audience and sort of said, you know, it was amazing. And there was a woman behind me, and she was crying with emotion, you know, with the songs, because I sung He Hesitated, which is an anti-war song. So I think, obviously, you know, some people are gonna, you know, get very emotional. But yeah, I mean, it was great to do that there. Yeah.
Have any second thoughts about security or something? Because Iggy Pop cancelled his concert.
That's because I outsold him. Actually, the real story is that he only sold 400 tickets, and I sold more. And it's, you know, so we were in a sense in competition. And because I'm a world music artist, who's, you know, they love Arabic music in Sarajevo, so more people had bought tickets to my concert than his. So he had to pull out.
Yeah, so that's the real reason, not some. Extremist.
No, because there's no problems there. If I was the only, where I would worry about going at the moment is because there's been a lot of problems in Turkey, and every time we have a concert or a festival, it gets cancelled at the last minute because they can't guarantee the security, because there's been, you know, some bombs and stuff like that. But Sarajevo, I've been there a few times, and there's never been any problem. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. In Ljubljana, we have also here. Because of the past, we have big Muslim community exactly from Bosnia and so on, but we still don't. We are the only capital in Europe, I think, with large Muslim community without a mosque. So they have to celebrate Ramadan in concert halls, Bayram and so on.
Somebody in Sarajevo did tell me that you have no mosques in Slovenia. Do Muslims find that a problem here? I mean, is this?
I mean, they are trying to get, but they are all the time saying it will ruin the landscape. It will. Now they are seeking. I mean, for 20 years they are seeking the place where to build it. Now I think that it's finally up to them. I mean, now the area is location is given, and they have to gather. Money to raise it. But I mean, it's a story that lasts 20 years, elections,
yeah.
politics, so I just wanted to tell you and
yeah.
think about it. I mean,
yeah.
I think it's,
well, I think, yeah, they need to find funding or even appeal to some sheikhs in the Middle East, because there are, you know, plenty of ways of getting funding from the richer areas of the Middle East who want to export Islam, obviously, you know, wherever they can. So now, yeah, like you say, they need to get their finances together.
Okay, I would like to thank you for the interview. Wish you a good concert. And do you have any last message for audience tonight?
Well, I just hope they enjoy the concert. Yeah. Okay.
You're welcome.
Shukran.
Off one.
Is the color of my true love's hair, his face so soft and wondrous fair, the purest eyes and the strongest hands. I love the ground on where he stands. I love the ground on where he stands. Black is the color of my true love's hair, of my
Interview Radia Student.